بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا، welcome back to our next session with Imam Tahawi. May Allah be pleased with him. So we're on point number 102, I believe, which is about a Jannah and Nar. وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ مَخْلُوقَتَانِ. That the paradise and hellfire have been created. لا تفنياني أبدا ولا تبيداني. That they will never perish and neither will they cease to exist. In other words, they are going to remain. And the same is the case, of course, with the people who will inhabit these two spaces. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that they will live in there forever. Chapter 4, verse number 57 of the Quran. So Allah has explicitly made it clear that they will be there for all eternity. And there's no impermanence. In other words, it's not the case that it's going to come to an end. Just one second, please. Sorry about that. My daughter just was in a bit of pain. May Allah protect her. So this is something that's mentioned by Allah in the Quran. So we have explicit text, nusus, that mention that the people of paradise will be there. There's also a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in many places. For example, that the inhabitants of Jannah will neither grow old, neither will they die. And their clothes will not, wear out, or neither will they lose their youthfulness. And this makes sense because this world is material. This world goes through change. It's a material existence. It's a radically different world. And so in this world, everything changes. Things go from birth, growth, it reaches a pinnacle, and then it goes into decline, and eventually it ceases to exist. But in that world, because there is no time, there is no sort of, movement, and it's not exposed to the movement of time, that won't happen in that world. And of course, ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create whatever world He wishes. And in Jannah, this will be the case. In the next one, Imam Tahawi says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارَ قَبْلَ الْخَلْقِ وَخَلَقَ لَهُمَا أَهْلًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and the fire before He created the rest of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. If you look at chapter 53, verse 13 to 15, you will find this in the Quran. You also find in the Quran chapter 2, verse 35, also making this point. This is a rejection of a sect we have talked about before, the Mu'tazila, because they hold that the Jannah and the fire have not been created, but will be created after resurrection. We don't need to go into the details, but there is a group that says that. And I mentioned before, a lot of points in Aqidah are in response to other groups. And then he says, Imam Tahawi, وَخَلَقَ لَهُمَا أَهْلًا فَمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَضْلًا مِنْهُ وَمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْهُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ عَدْلًا مِنْهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created people who are from the Ahl, the people who will occupy that space. Some He will to admit into Jannah, Allah make us from them. Importantly, Imam Tahawi says, this is due to Allah's fadl, divine grace. And others who Allah has willed that they will enter the fire, and this is Allah's justice. So on the one hand, we enter paradise, inshallah ta'ala, through divine grace, not through divine justice. Because of course, if Allah was to be entirely just with us, then nobody would enter paradise, because everybody really hasn't fulfilled Allah's rights as they ought to be fulfilled. And He says about the people of fire, that they will enter the fire purely because of Allah's justice. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrates that a child of the Ansar passed away, and she says that I made a remark, a glad tidings to him. He is one of the sparrows of paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this, said, Do you not know that Allah created paradise and hellfire, and then he created for this inhabitants, and in other words, he created inhabitants for Jannah, fire, and he created inhabitants for the Jannah and the Jahannam. And then he said, these are for paradise, and I do not care, for La Ubali, and these are for the hellfire, and I do not care. Okay, so we enter Allah's paradise, Jannah, through his divine grace, not through your own actions. Our actions are sorely deficient when it comes to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, for example, in chapter 57, verse 21, that Allah says that race with one another for forgiveness from your Lord, and a garden whose breadth is as the breadth of the heavens and the earth, which is in store for those who believe in Allah and his messengers. Such is the bounty of Allah, which he bestows upon whoever he will. This is chapter 57, verse 21 of the Quran. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, no one shall enter Jannah except by Allah's mercy. Someone asked him, what about you, O Messenger? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, not even I, unless Allah receives me with his mercy. Right? So Allah's rahmah is by the way, this is the way that we will enter paradise, inshallah ta'ala. And so this is an explicit or implicit rejection of the Mu'tazila, who hold that it's an obligation for Allah to reward good actions. In other words, if you do something good, Allah must reward you. Allah must do something for you. Okay. This is something that they hold. We say, no, we don't put strictures upon Allah. We don't put rules upon Allah. Allah can do whatever he wishes. And of course, when it comes to the fire, this is purely out of Allah's justice, because Allah made it incumbent on them to believe out of their own choice. And he has already informed us of the punishment for those who do not believe in complying or who do not follow Allah's actions and commandments. Okay. So when Allah has given you a warning, he has vindicated himself, if you like. So therefore, his punishment is out of his justice and wisdom. Very similar, when you enter a school or a college or an institution, there are rules which you sign up to. There are conditions which you sign up to, and failure to honor those obligations is your own fault, because you have the free agency to accept or reject them. Also, you know that if you don't do that, you will be on the receiving end of some sort of punishment. So this is important. Number 104 here from Imam Tahawi. وَكُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ لِمَا قَدْ فُرِغَ لَهُ وَصَائِرٌ لِمَا إِلَى مَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Every person acts in accordance with what has been preordained for him and proceeds in a way inevitably towards that which has been created. And good and evil, وَالْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُّ مُقَدَّرَانِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. Good and evil are determined for everyone. Allah says in the Quran, chapter 17, verse 84, everyone has acts according to their own disposition. قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَىٰ شَاكِلَتِهِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the pen has dried writing about what is going to happen until the day of Qiyamah. And everyone is facilitated for that which he was created. And we've already talked about earlier about that good and evil are by Allah's will, volition, decree, and foreordination. So it's already preordained by Allah for his slaves. Allah says in the Quran, but you will not except as Allah wills. Right? Nothing happens except illa an yasha Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam alluded to this when he said, destiny, it's good and evil, is from Allah. The hadith of Jibreel, from which this statement is well known, and we've already talked about this famous hadith of Gabriel, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, which you ought to know of and remember, a very important hadith where the angel visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in. So obviously angels are light. They are disembodied. They don't have a physical body like we have, made from dust. They are made of nur. And he appeared to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions in an embodied form, i.e. in a human form. And he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a series of questions, to which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, for example, what is faith? What is Islam? What is Ihsan? What is excellence? So these sort of things. Okay. Okay, next one. You can never go wrong with a good cup of coffee. Alhamdulillah. وَالْإِسْتِطَاعَةُ يَجِبُ بِهَا الْفِعْلُ مِنْ نَحْوِ التَّوْفِيقِ الَّذِي لَا يَجُوزُ أَنْ يُوصَفَ الْمَخْلُوقُ بِهِ. So the ability that must exist for the performance of an act, like the enablement of tawfiq to obey Allah, for example, which cannot be attributed to a creature, accompanies the action. I'll just repeat that again. وَالْإِسْتِطَاعُ الَّتِي يَجِبُ بِهَا الْفِعْلُ مِنْ نَحْوِ التَّوْفِيقِ الَّذِي لَا يَجُوزُ أَنْ يُوصَفَ الْمَخْلُوقُ بِهِ فَهِيَ مَعَ الْفِعْلِ. Okay, the ability that must exist for the performance of an act, for example, the enablement, which we call tawfiq, to obey Allah, for an instance, cannot be attributed to a creature, accompanies the action. And then he says, وَأَمَّا الْإِسْتِطَاعَةُ مِنْ جِهَةِ الصِّحَةِ وَالْوُسْعِ وَالتَّمَكُّنِ وَالسَّلَامَةِ الْآلَاتِ فَهِيَ قَبْلَ الْفِعْلِ وَبِهَا يَتَعَلَّ الْخِطَابِ وهي كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. As for the ability arising from good health, having the capacity, readiness, and healthy limbs, then it precedes the action. In other words, these things happen, you have them before the action, and it is this latter type that legal responsibility is contingent upon, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah never burdens a soul beyond its capacity, nothing more than you can carry. Now, there are, in simple terms, my friends, when you think about ability, when you think about what's called istita'a in Arabic, there are two types, broadly speaking. There's a hidden form and there's a external or apparent form. The hidden is that by which an action happens, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala producing it concurrently with the action. So for example, in respect of obedience, acts of obedience, it is called enablement, tawfiq. And when it comes to disobedience, it is called abandonment, khidlan. So just to repeat, there are two types of actions. There's two types of ability. There's a hidden one, there's an apparent one. When it comes to the hidden one, the hidden is by which an action actually happens, the ability and then the action. There's a hidden form, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces it concurrently with the action. So in respect of acts of obedience, of course, when you do something good, it's tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to disobedience, that is called khidlan, abandonment. Okay, and this is something that is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a hidden form. Okay, and so when Allah assists you with that, that's called tawfiq, and Allah, when it's abandoned form, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now this type of ability, this istita'a, accompanies the act, just like, if I can just show you, the movement of a finger with the movement of a ring, right? So if I show you here my ring, you can see it. It's moving with my finger. And so you're always in need of Allah's enablement. You're always in need of Allah's enablement, volition, and support. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes towards this in the Quran, chapter 76, verse 30. But you will not accept as Allah is, for Allah is full of knowledge and wisdom. Okay? In other words, you are not completely independent in producing your actions, but rather you need Allah at every moment, which is the reality of servitude and neediness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, for example, in chapter 35, verse 15, it is you that needs Allah. Okay? This is basically technical, but it's really refuting a sect that we've talked about time and time again, the Mu'tazila, who hold that the ability precedes an action and that is within the power of slaves. Anyway, so just to rephrase and remind ourselves, when it comes to ability, there are two types. There's a hidden one and there's an apparent one. The hidden one is two types, tawfiq, when you're allowed to do something, when you're made to do, when you're enabled to do something, and khizlan is when there's a form of abandonment. If you go back to the apparent type of ability, this comes from capacity, readiness, you have the right, you have the right tools, limbs, healthy organs. And this type precedes an act, so it comes before an act and is pivotal to moral obligation. So you have ability and then you have the acts. You need the ability first. You need all the requirements for ability. You've got to be, sane. Your body's got to be working, everything else. And then you're able to carry out the act as well. And this is where, on the zahir one, this is where moral obligation, i.e. moral responsibility, comes to the cliff. In other words, there'll be consequences for that. Not for the hidden one, but the apparent one. Because the first one is hidden and the person is unaware of it. And obligation falls and moral responsibility falls on the apparent one. Okay. So whoever, for example, can perform acts of worship, such as prayer, fasting, hajj, he's only obliged to perform them based on his apparent ability, even if nothing transpires, given Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates act. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran chapter 2, verse 286, Allah never obligates a soul beyond its capacity. And this is evidence that moral responsibility is only for that which is within one's capacity, based on his apparent ability. So you are only held accountable for zahir, for what's on your apparent ability. Okay. Slaves' actions. So this is here. وَأَفْعَالُ اللَّهِ عِبَادٍ هِيَ خَلْقُ اللَّهِ وَكَسْبٌ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ. So your actions of Allah's slaves, are created by Allah. Makes sense. And they are, but they are acquired by us. كَسْب. This is really a rejection of the Mu'tazilites. And also a group that we've talked about before, the Jabariya, the people who are called the compulsionists. The Mu'tazila say that the slave creates their actions, not Allah. The Jabariya, on the other hand, say Allah creates the actions and we have no acquisition or free will in respect to them. So these both of these schools are on the extreme ends of taking a middle position in this. The right path, of course, and the upright way is the path of the Ahlul Sunnah, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates actions and we simply acquire them. Okay? So as for the evidence, for example, Allah ta'ala creates actions, it's in the Quran, chapter 37, verse 96. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, when Allah has created you and what you make. Okay? And of course, if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the Qadir, Khaliq, Kulli Shay, He creates all possible things. And our actions are from those possible matters. Okay? So that's fine. We can agree with that. And it makes sense to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates everything. He has to be the creator of everything. As for the evidence that the slaves acquire their actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 22, verse 10 says, that is because of the works which your hands sent forth. Allah also says in chapter 42, verse 30, it is what your right hands have earned. In chapter 411, Allah says, and whoever earns a sin, he only earns it against his soul. And whoever earns a fault or sin. Right? So this is in the Quran. In chapter 2, verse 225, but he will take you to task for what your hearts have earned. Okay, so this is telling you that you, Allah Ta'ala creates actions, but you acquire the ability to complete that action. Okay, and then he has a long sentence, paragraph even, where Imam Tahawi says, where he wants to finish off what he just began about slaves' actions. I'll read it for you, inshallah ta'ala. وَلَنْ يُكَلِّفُهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَّا مَا يُتِيقُونَ. Number one, Allah does not obligate anyone except that which they have the strength to do. وَلَا يُتِيقُونَ إِلَّا مَا كَلَّفَهُمْ. And they only have the strength to do that which they are, what he has obligated to them to do. وَهُوَ تَفْسِيرٌ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is the explanation of there is no power, there's no strength, no might, save with Allah. نَقُولُ لَا حِيلَةَ لِأَحَدٍ وَلَا حَرَكَةَ لِأَحَدٍ وَلَا تَحَوُّلِ وَلَا لِأَحَدٍ عَنْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَّا بِمَعُونَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We assert that no one can devise a stratagem, or desist or move from the disobedience of Allah except with Allah's aid. Yeah. وَلَا قُوَّةَ لِأَحَدٍ عَلَىٰ إِقَامَةِ تَعْتِ اللَّهِ وَالثَّبَاتِ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ. And no one has the ability to obey Allah and remain steadfast therein except with Allah's assistance. Subhanallah. And then we say, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَجْرِي بِمَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ وَعِلْمِهِ وَقَضَائِهِ وَقَدَرِهِ. That everything comes by Allah's high will, Allah's will, knowledge, decree, and foreordination. غَلَبَتْ مَشِيئَتُهُ الْمَشِيئَاتِ كُلَّهَا وَغَلَبَ قَضَاءُهُ الْحِيَلَ كُلَّهَا يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ ظَالِمٍ أَبَدًا. Subhanallah. His will has prevailed over all wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevails over everyone. His decree has prevailed over all strategies. He does what he wills. He is never jalla wa ala unjust. This is your creator and my creator, jalla wa ala. Let's move on. Supplicating, making dua on behalf of the deceased. وفي دعاء الأحياء وصدقاتهم منفعة للأموات. In making dua for the living and giving sadaqah, charity, is beneficial for the deceased. In other words, living people like me and you, making dua for them, supplicating for them, giving charity in their name is manfa'ah. It's beneficial for them. Okay. As for du'as, you'll find it in the Quran, chapter 59, verse number 10. And those who came after them say, our Lord, forgive us and our brethren who came before us into faith. Okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, in that verse, praise them for this action. And if there is no benefit in praying and seeking forgiveness for the deceased, Allah would not have praised them, Jalla wa Ala. Okay, so this is an understanding from the text of the Nas of the Quran. Okay. And it's also established because the prayer over the deceased is obligatory. Janaza, Salah. And what do we do when we perform that prayer? We extol, we supplicate, we ask Allah to forgive our living, and of course, we ask Allah to forgive our deceased. So if supplications, my friends, weren't of any use or they were futile, then praying over the deceased would not have been made an obligation. Okay? Because there's no benefit in it otherwise. As for giving charity, sadaqah, by the living for the dead, Allah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, there's a meaning that give in spend for your deceased. Okay? Wallahu ta'ala yastajibu da'awat, and of course when we make dua, Allah accepts and Allah answers du'as that people make. وَيَقْضِي الْحَاجَاتِ, and he can fulfill needs. Okay, so as for answering supplications, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, chapter 40, verse number 60, Ud'uni astajib lakum, call on me and I will answer you. Elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chapter 2, verse 186, says, I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also fulfills needs because Allah is characterized by absolute mercy and has power over everything. And Allah endures no hardship in fulfilling any of those needs. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills needs. وَيَمْلِكُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may he be exalted, possesses everything. He's a Malik, as Allah says in chapter 57, verse number 2. He is the sovereign of the heavens and the earth. وَلَا يَمْلِكُ شَيْءٍ, and of course, just to be absolutely clear, 115 here, nothing, Allah is not owned, Jalla wa'ala. وَلَا غَنِيَّ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَرَاتَ, and there's nothing that is independent of Allah, even for a moment. Okay? Because everything besides Allah is possible, and whatever is possible in its existence and continuance needs the wajibul wujud, and thus cannot be self-sufficient. In other words, everything that exists in this world, at one stage, there was a possibility it existed. For example, Harun, me, there was a moment in time where there was a possibility for me to come into existence and not into existence. What was it that tilted the balance for me to come into existence? We needed something to happen. Nothing, this phone does not drop by itself. It needs something to make it drop. It needs something to make it drop. Otherwise, it stays there, right? So it either falls or it doesn't fall. In any case, it needs some sort of intervention. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is the one that brought things from non-existence or things from possibility of existence to full existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who was, of course, able to do that. But Allah is free from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have anyone to bring him into existence. He is free of being brought into existence. We are always in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَلَا غَنِيَّ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعْرِفَ الْعَيْنِ, we are need, and we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every moment of our existence. Allah says in the Quran, chapter 35, verse number 15, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, you are the ones who are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything subsists by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustaining it. He is the sustainer of everything, Jalla wa'ala. And were it not for his providence for these things, they would have all imploded into nothingness and dwindle. وَمَنِ اسْتَغْنَى عَنِ اللَّهِ تَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, subhanAllah. Whoever claims to be independent of God for the blink of an eye is a disbeliever. Okay? Because being in need is a necessary attribute of a slave Allah. By contrast, being mustaghni is an attribute of Allah. And so if you try, or we try, to think that we have attributes that only belong to Allah, then we are denying Allah's rights. Okay? He is ignorant of his Lord, because he doesn't understand his relationship with his Lord. Okay. Because he is attributing to himself self-sufficiency, and this leads to one becoming a kafir, to a kafir. وَصَارَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحِينَ, and a person of that type will become someone whose end is destruction. Okay, because a disbeliever will be perpetually subjected to severe punishment. And what punishment, my friends, can be much can be worse than that? We'll talk about Allah's wrath and pleasure, inshallah ta'ala, next. Wallahu ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. Okay. Yes. Wallahu ta'ala, number 117. Wallahu ta'ala yaghdabu wa yarda la ka ahadin min al wara. Allah has wrath and pleasure, but it's not like our wrath and pleasure. It's not the same, not the same thing. Allah talks about this in the Quran. Because Allah Himself describes as having wrath and pleasure. Allah says in chapter 48, verse number 6, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on them. Also, Allah says in chapter 5, 119, Allah is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Allah. So we have it established that He, Jalla wa ala, is attributed with pleasure and wrath. However, what is meant by His wrath and pleasure is not the same wrath and pleasure, of course, as we have. It's not like our wrath or our pleasure. Because wrath in creation, our type, where your face changes, you might have a red face, your blood begins to boil, as we say, the veins bulge, and these physical changes appear. Okay, and when you think about pleasure, for example, you see jubilance, you see forms of inner happiness. But Allah's free from change, right? Allah doesn't change when He becomes happy, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't change when He is when He's angry, Jalla wa ala. Allah is not changing. A God, Allah is Allah, right? He's everything about Him is pre-eternal. Okay. And we say that what is intended by Allah's wrath is His will, this is important, to exact retribution against sinners who disobey Allah, who turn against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And, you know, it's like dealing with how a king would deal with those who are under his authority and with whom he is angry. And we take refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His wrath. As for Allah's pleasure, Jalla wa ala, that's Allah's will to reward those who obey Him and to pardon those who disobey Him and to deal with them as a king would deal with those under his authority whom Allah is pleased with by honoring them and bestowing on them further blessings. And we ask for Allah's pleasure and Allah's mercy, Jalla wa ala. We'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll talk about loving the companions next week. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.